Radio Prague News.
An unidentified perpetrator threw a Molotov cocktail into the home of a Romani family in a central Bohemian village. A blockade against the logging of trees in the Šumava National Park continued on Wednesday, and the legendary ice hockey defenseman and three-time world champion Oldřich Machač has died at the age of 65. An unidentified perpetrator threw a Molotov cocktail into the house of a Romani family in the central Bohemian village of Krte late on Tuesday night. The residents of the house were able to extinguish the bottle immediately. One of them was lightly injured in the process. Police have not yet confirmed a racial motive. The perpetrator or perpetrators could face prison sentences of up to 12 years. Several similar attacks against Romanis have taken place in the Czech Republic in recent years, most recently in the central Bohemian village of Bíchovi. No one was injured in that attack. The blockade against the felling of bark beetle-infested trees in the Šumava National Park continued on Wednesday, with 45 activists trying to prevent trees from being logged. Some 40 police officers and about 90 forest workers were also at the site. According to park management, the logging effort is nearing its completion, but a spokesperson refused to give the exact date when the felling of some 5,000 trees is expected to wrap up. The famous ice hockey defenseman Oldřich Machač died at the age of 65 on Wednesday morning. The three-time world champion had been suffering from heart disease for a period of time. Oldřich Machač, who was most of the time paired with his friend and teammate František Pospíšil, played in nearly 300 national team games for Czechoslovakia and scored a total of 37 goals. He represented the country at 11 IHF championships and 3 Olympic tournaments and was inducted into the International Ice Hockey Hall of Fame in 1999. The far-right Workers' Party for Social Justice is planning to protest a parade organized by lesbians and gays as part of the Prague Pride Festival on Saturday. According to the party's chairman Tomáš Vandas, the parade is nothing but a celebration of homosexuality, which is not natural and never has been. Mr. Vandas also criticizes Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, under whose auspices the five-day Prague Pride Festival is taking place. According to Česlav Válek, the chairman of the festival board, the organizers have been discussing safety issues with the police. Last week, presidential aide Petr Hayek labeled the parade a march of deviance and was backed in his criticism by President Václav Klaus. And let's take a brief look at the weather. The rest of the week is expected to be largely overcast with some sunny periods. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around 17 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the first ever Gay Pride Parade kicks off in the Czech capital, and not without controversy. The charity organization People in Need finds a group of 6,000 victims of drought in Ethiopia, mostly elderly women and children. And a little later in the program, we visit the romantic Bohemian castle of Kukulcin. All that and more coming up in today's show, so do stay tuned. The five-day Prague Pride Gay Festival kicked off on Wednesday amidst heated political controversy. The country's top political figures, including President Václav Klaus and Prime Minister Petr Nečas, have voiced their opinions on the event. Organizers say the media attention will swell the ranks of participants, both supporters and opponents, of Saturday's gay parade through the city center. Jan Richter has the details.
Up to 7,000 people are expected to take part in the Gay Pride Parade through the Czech capital on Saturday, the highlight of the Prague Pride Festival. Held in Prague for the first time, the five-day event started on Wednesday with a photo exhibition, a public debate and several parties and discos. The festival's director Czeslaw Wolek told Radio Prague about some of the most interesting events the festival has to offer.
I think that we managed to put together a very interesting, comprehensive program. Each day you can find different activities. For me personally, I definitely will go for some of the public debates about hate crime, about LGBT seniors, or about HIV/AIDS. And of course, the highlight of the Pride is Saturday, when we will have now seem like a huge parade through the center of the city, and a very nice concert at the one of the islands in the center.
The reason why organizers expect so many people to turn up on Saturday is a heated political controversy that has surrounded the march. Czech President Václav Klaus last week lashed out against the march when he backed anti-gay comments made by one of his aides. Mr. Klaus also criticized 13 ambassadors who expressed support for the event, including US Envoy Norman Eisen and the UK ambassador in Prague, Sean MacLeod. The controversial ultra-conservative figure Ladislav Batora, who was recently appointed to a senior post at the Education Ministry, also entered the fray when he publicly criticized Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda for having endorsed the event. The exchange sparked a response from Prime Minister Petr Nečas, who on Tuesday asked everyone to tone down their rhetoric, as the event had been blown out of proportion. Mr. Nečas said the Czech Republic was a free country, where everyone can voice their opinions as long as they don't contradict the law. The more vocal opponents of the event include the far-right group Workers' Party of Social Justice, as well as the Young Christian Democrats, who are planning to stage their own rallies in Prague on Saturday in protest against the Gay Pride March. The ultra-conservative stance on homosexuals, now backed by President Klaus, is in stark contrast with the relatively tolerant attitude of most Czechs. Sociologist Jan Hartl is the head of the STEM polling agency.
Our surveys show that the Czech population is relatively tolerant towards homosexuals. If we compare it to our data and cross-nationally, one can say that the Czech society is relatively open.
How is it changing in time? Would you say that the Czech population is growing more tolerant, or that perhaps it's going the other way, that the tolerance is diminishing?
We have no indication that there would be any dynamics in this respect. It seems that this is a relatively stable attitude, not showing any significant development over time.
Under pressure from conservative groups, however, Prague Pride organizers cancelled one of the festival's more flamboyant events, called Naked Party.
Many thanks to Jan Richter. This is Radio Prague. The Czech charity organization People in Need, working in southeastern Ethiopia, has found a group of roughly 6,000 people suffering from hunger and malnourishment. Known for working in remote areas, the organization was near the Somali border, looking into the state of a group of local herdsmen whose cattle had died out, when they found that they had been joined by several thousand drought refugees from neighboring Somalia. Local communities have been trying to care for the refugees so far, but their material support, water, food, and firewood, is quickly running out. Children are dying on a weekly basis, and the group has not yet even received refugee status by the Ethiopian government. Earlier today, I spoke by phone with People in Need's coordinator, Marek Stis, who is currently in the Somali region of Ethiopia, and described the situation.
They are all of them in very primitive shelters from the woods and pieces of cloth. They have very little the personal belongings. They have practically no food at all. And their health status and the nutrition status of kids is pretty alarming. All the indicators given the child mortality and mortality and the malnutrition figures are basically in red and indicating famine. Most pressing needs are currently to provide them with the health and the nutrition support, water and food, and this is what we are working on currently.
The pictures that you've sent from the sites are distressing, to say the least. They show the lowliest of living conditions in these very, very small tents covered with clothing. How has the situation changed since last week? What have you managed to accomplish in that time?
Well, the situation has not changed much, frankly. We've undertaken few emergency food distributions. We brought in the people from the local health bureau and one other NGO who is helping with the health and nutrition screening, targeting the kids, the mothers, and then the elderly first. And as we are speaking, we are dispatching a big convoy, about 120 tons of food and different relief items, as jerrycans and water purification tablets, some tarpaulins, plastic sheets, basically to protect them, you know, against the wind, blankets against the night cold, because the temperatures are dropping pretty low during the night. And the convoy should be on the place next week, which will mean a radical improvement in the situation. But it takes time, because the distance from the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa is about 1,500 kilometers, which means at least 5 days for the trucks to reach the place, and to assemble all the material and food is also not easy. So the situation will start changing in the course of the next week.
Right, this area is extremely remote. It seems to be in the middle of a desert. How do you surmount the logistical problems of getting the aid there? What kind of logistical problems are there?
Well, it's the distance I was mentioning, and it's also in terms of administrative access, because when you are working with refugees in Ethiopia, you have to have the agreement with the agency for refugees and returnees, and it is still not clear how the government is going to react towards these pockets of people. It seems like they would like to reallocate them to these big official camps in Dolo Odo, which are hosting currently over 120,000 refugees. But from logistical point of view, and from the point of view of the very much malnourished kids, sick people, the transport cannot physically take place, let's say, in coming months or two, and the people have to be stabilized a bit before they will be moved. So the administrative the issues are really on our everyday agenda. Agenda is here. It's not just to come and to help the people, because they are refugees, but the status of refugees has not been granted to these groups yet. So currently, these days, we are joining UNHCR and local government for fact-finding missions, where our people with the officials are basically driving alongside the Ethiopian-Somali border and trying to assess the situation, locate other pockets of refugees and IDPs, which most probably will be in the vicinity of two places which have been currently discovered on the border. And we have to keep in mind that the Ethiopia has like 800 kilometers long border with Somalia, and on many places refugees from Somalia are crossing unnoticed. And logistically speaking, it's a challenge.
Marek Stis of the People in Need Foundation on the telephone there from the Somali region of Ethiopia. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Later on in the program, we'll have our language learning show Soundcheck, but first our weekly travel program, Spotlight. Anyone longing to escape the Czech capital in the stifling summer months would do well to visit the nearby Kokořín region, only around 40 kilometers or so northeast of Prague. Kokořín, with deep forests, valleys, as well as characteristic sandstone cliffs and unique architecture, is remarkable. You'll feel you've traveled more than one short train or bus ride away. It's an escape back to nature, with numerous spots for swimming and excellent trails for hiking, all in peace and quiet. Jan Wellinger has this edition of Spotlight.
Kokořín boasts numerous castles, one of the most famous, a stunning, originally Gothic site that shares the region's name. Not long ago, when visiting the area, I met with Maria Smutna, the castle caretaker there, who told me a bit about the site's rich past. It all began in 1320.
Kokořín hrad byl postaven na hranici dvou panství. Na jedné straně máme královský hrad Bezděz.
Kokořín castle was built on the edge of two royal domains, near both the castle Bezděz as well as the royal town of Mělník. And it served as a sentry outpost for soldiers responsible for guarding the area, collecting taxes for the king, and similar such duties. When you travel through Kokořín Nature Reserve, you'll notice that the castle is not visible from most points, but hidden within the valley. That made it ideal for the point of view of defense. Regarding the structure itself, like most castles, it houses tall ramparts, deep ditches, and a tower. The living quarters were then found in the small and large palace.
Ta část obytná, to je tedy veliký a malý palác, takže je velice, velice dobře na perfektním místě postaven.
According to Mrs. Smutná, the site served as a classic castle for most of its early history, but fell into demise in the 16 and 1700s.
Dá se říci, že od toho roku 1320 až do toho 16. století.
Castles during the Renaissance gradually lost their original purpose. They had become vulnerable to cannon fire and firearms, and most were either turned into Renaissance-style palaces or they were destroyed. Kokořín was left to collapse. It even appeared on a list of cursed castles issued by Ferdinand III, which decreed that the castle's stone would be used in the construction of surrounding villages. But Kokořín was left undamaged. This region is full of sandstone cliffs. People extracted sandstone from nearby rather than stone from the castle. Even so, Kokořín still fell into ruin. Over time, it became a robber's hideaway, mostly home to men who had deserted from the military and now made a living by waylaying traveling merchants.
Okrádali kupce, kteří jezdili tímto krajem.
In fact, the revival of Kokořín Castle came at a much later date.
V podstatě až kolem roku 1895 koupil panství od manželů Jírových pan Špaček.
In 1895, the castle was bought by Václav Špaček, a businessman from Horní Počernice, who happened to own stud farms and stables, and rented his horses to the postal service. His horses helped the post deliver the mail all around Prague, and that's how he made his fortune. He bought the castle and began to invest a lot of capital in this region. Not far away, he built a famous swimming pool, tennis courts, a luxury hotel. Meanwhile, Kokořín was redesigned in the neo-romantic style to be preserved as a cultural monument. Mr. Špaček expected it to draw many out-of-town visitors and that clients would come to find relaxation and rest. He also expected it would open their wallets.
Odpočinkem dole se ubytují, pobaví a ponechají finanční obnos.
Maria Smutná says that Kokořín is famous for being one of the few neo-romantic castles in Bohemia, and you won't find anything similar quite like it. The atmosphere of the Romantic period is tangible. The area is pristine and there's nothing to ruin the impression. No businesses along the road to the castle like at many other well-known sites. Kokořín's caretaker, once again.
Tady je účel takový, aby se v těch lidech probudil ten romantik.
One person might pretend the romantic poet Karl Hynek Mácha, another that he's a knight on an ancient path. Someone else just wants to escape the big city. Around Kokořín there is a forest. As Goethe himself observed, the castle is a vessel on a sea of forest. It's ideal for looking out and observing birds of prey.
Kokořín hrad je plující koráb v moře lesů.
When you visit, expect a bit of a climb onto the promontory, including wooden steps among the trees, until Kokořín's majestic tower becomes visible. Then it's over a wooden bridge over a deep ditch or moat, and you're there. Many have remarked that its placement within the landscape is what makes it so exceptional, rather than its interior, which boasts only a few rooms, though beautiful, but few are accessible to the public. Many I spoke with agreed.
We are French tourists, so it's the first time here, of course. It's nice to walk all around because it's all surrounded with woods and very nice view. It was nice.
No, my už jsme tady víckrát a furt nás to sem táhne, protože tady to údolí je strašně krásný.
We've been here before and something keeps bringing us back. The valley is gorgeous and the castle is fantastic. After the castle, we're going to hike on some of the trails to the cliffs known as the Lids, where there's also a rock formation that looks like a giant frog. After that, we'll head to another nearby castle known as Hoska, where legend has it there was once an entrance to hell. It belched steam and smoke, and after a man came back grey with fear from searching the area, they opted to build a chapel on the site, so that devils could come up no more.
Takže teď tam je kaple a čerti už k nám nemůžou.
Já jsem tady poprvé, takže já to tady obdivuju, ale uvidíme, jak bude dál.
It's my first time here. I admire the scenery. It's very beautiful. I'm curious about what comes next.
What comes next depends only on what you prefer. But if it's hiking or even mountain biking, you can't do wrong. Countless marked trails wind up sharply along the sandstone cliffs, and at the top of one climb you will indeed find the so-called lids, ancient stone slabs that rest on massive rock formations shaped by the centuries. The stone frog is there too, a petrified Jabba the Hutt. Then there are beautiful mesas in the rock and points where one has to literally squeeze through and risk losing one's jacket buttons, like Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit. From above, one can see the landscape in all of its splendor, including unique architecture, many vine-covered country homes with hedgerows and English gardens, contrasted by rugged cliffs, endless swampland full of reeds, and hilly dark black forest in the distance. Kokorin is a truly gorgeous and inspiring visit, and at the end of the day, the nearest town, aptly enough named Rai, meaning paradise, offers at least one excellent pub to visit, as well as a number of nearby bed and breakfasts. Kokorin is so close, yet a world apart.
That was Jan Vellinger with that edition of Spotlight, first broadcast in August of 2006. Topping our show off now today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Dominik Jung.
Zloba, závist, dášť, strach a svár, ty ať pominou, ať už pominou.
Welcome to this Soundcheck, the program in which you can learn Czech songs through phrases and lyrics. Today we are listening to an iconic Czech song called Modlitba pro Martu, sung by Charter 77 signatory Marta Kubišová. The phrase to listen out for is Ať už pominou.
Ať už pominou.
Modlitba pro Martu is a song that is closely connected to the struggle against communist oppression in Czechoslovakia following the 1968 Soviet invasion. In fact, the song was banned by the communist authorities because they believed, correctly, that its lyrics, as sung by Kubišová, were a call for freedom against tyrannical rule in the country.
Zloba, závist, dášť, strach a svár, ty ať pominou. Ať už pominou.
Ať už roughly translates as let it be that, or in more refined English, may this or that one day occur. It is used a number of times in the song. The very first line, Ať mír dál zůstává s touto krajinou, means may peace continue in these lands. In fact, Ať už also has a second meaning, be it. For example, I will sing to somebody today, be it you or someone else.
Ať mír dál zůstává s touto krajinou. Zloba, závist, dášť, strach a svár, ty ať pominou. Ať už pominou.
Later on, the cries for a better future become even more profound. Zloba, závist, zášť, strach a svár, ty ať pominou, ať už pominou. May spite, jealousy and animosity, and fear and quarrelling all pass. And that's all for this edition. Thanks for listening.
Ať mír dál zůstává. To krajinou. Zloba, závisášť, strach a svár, ty ať pominou, ať už pominou. Teď, když tvá ztracená
That was Dominique Yoon with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or, of course, by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.